Praise the Lord, everyone. Well, it's wonderful to see all of you here tonight, and we are going to sing some songs and worship God for a while. But before we do that, we need to pray. Father in heaven, we come before you in prayer this evening, asking for thy help, asking for thy guidance, asking, O God, that thou would be here with us tonight. We ask, O God, that thou would guide everything we do here tonight, that thou would anoint this service, O God. We ask that thy presence, that thy Holy Ghost would be here upon each and every one of us. We ask, O God, that thou would inspire us to truly worship thee in spirit and in truth. And we ask that thou would inhabit the praise of thy people here tonight. We pray this in Jesus' name, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. I guess number 83 from the Rising of the Sun would be a good one to start with in the chorus book. From the rising of the sun to the going down thereof, the name of the Lord is to be
the name of the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. From the rising of the sun to the going down thereof, the name of the Lord is to be praised. That's in the morning, that's all day, and that's until the sun goes down. Even before we're falling asleep, we should be praising the Lord. Glory to God. Why don't we sing number 15, The Windows of Heaven.
The windows of heaven are open. The Savior is calling tonight. There is joy, joy, joy in my heart since Jesus made everything right. I gave him my old tattered garment. He gave me a robe of pure white. I'm feasting on manna from heaven, and that's why I'm happy tonight. The windows of heaven are open. The Savior is calling tonight. There is joy, joy, joy in my heart since Jesus made everything right. I gave him my old tattered garment. He gave me a robe of pure white. I'm feasting on manna from heaven, and that's why I'm happy tonight. The windows of heaven are open. The Savior is calling tonight. There is joy, joy, joy in my heart since Jesus made everything right. I gave him my old tattered garment. He gave me a robe of pure white. I'm feasting on manna from heaven, and that's why I'm happy tonight.
Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Jesus. Well, why don't we sing number 29, We Are Able. We haven't sang that one for quite some time, but it's a good one. Praise the Lord.
We are able to go up and take the country, and to possess the land from Jordan to the sea. Though the giants may be there, our way to hinder, and God will surely give the victory. We are able to go up and take the country, and to possess the land from Jordan to the sea. Though the giants may be there, our way to hinder, and God will surely give the victory. Able to go up and take the country, to possess the land from Jordan to the sea. Though the giants may be there, our way to hinder, God will surely get the victory. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. You know, we're going to face a lot of giants in this world. Sometimes not physical giants, but there are giants. But we are able to overcome through the Lord Jesus Christ. We have the victory through Him. Praise the Lord. Why don't we sing number 34, How Great is Our God.
How great is our God. How great is His name. He's the greatest one, forever the same. He rolled back the waters of the mighty Red Sea, and He said, I'll go with you, put your trust in Me. How great is our God, how great is His name. He's the greatest one, forever the same. He rolled back the waters of the mighty Red Sea, and He said, I'll go with you, just put your trust in Me. How great is our God, how great is His name. He's the greatest one, forever the same. He rolled back the waters of the mighty Red Sea, and He said, I'll go with you, just put your trust in Me. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We know that our God doesn't change. He was great then and He's still great today. Praise the Lord. There's nothing too hard for the Lord. Why don't we sing number 67, Jesus is a Miracle Worker.
Jesus is a miracle worker, a miracle worker, a miracle worker. Jesus is a miracle worker. Oh, let Him work in you. I know Jesus can do anything. He can touch the lame in His name. I know Jesus can do anything. Oh, let Him work in you. Jesus is a miracle worker, a miracle worker, a miracle worker. Jesus is a miracle worker. Oh, let Him work in you. I know Jesus can do anything. He can touch the lame in His name. I know Jesus can do anything. Oh, let Him work in you. Jesus is a miracle worker, a miracle worker, a miracle worker. Jesus is a miracle worker. Oh, let Him work in you. I know Jesus can do anything. He can touch the lame in His name. I know Jesus can do anything. Oh, let Him work in you. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Isn't it wonderful to know that our God can do anything? Praise the Lord. There's nothing too hard for Him. Glory to God. Well, since we're on this page anyway, why don't we sing number 70, If You Believe.
If you believe, you shall receive. There's not a trouble or care the good Lord can't relieve. Oh, just the same today. All you've got to do is trust the thing we need. You must believe. If you believe, you shall receive. There's not a trouble or care the good Lord can relieve. Oh, He is just the same today. All you've got to do is trust and pray and believe. You must believe. If you believe, you shall receive. There's not a trouble or care the good Lord can relieve. Oh, He is just the same today. All you've got to do is trust and believe. You must believe. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. And He has so many good things waiting for us, and we would just believe. Praise the Lord. Well, glory to God. I'm going to take up the collection now, and then after that we'll sing one more and let Shirley get started with her Bible study. Praise the Lord. Father in heaven, we thank Thee for these tithes, these gifts, these offerings. We know these funds belong to Thee for Thy purposes, for Thy glory. We ask, O God, that Thou hast blessed the givers here tonight and also bless those who are unable to give. We pray this in Jesus' name through the power of Thy saving blood. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Well, why don't we sing number 76, Reach Out and Touch the Lord.
Reach out and touch the Lord as He passes by. You will find He's not too busy to hear your heart's cry. He is passing by this moment, your needs to supply. Reach out and touch the Lord as He passes by. Reach out and touch the Lord as He passes by. You will find He's not too busy to hear your heart's cry. He has passed by this moment, your needs to supply. Reach out and touch the Lord as He passes by. Reach out and touch the Lord as He passes by. You will find He's not too busy to hear your heart's cry. He is passing by this moment, your needs to supply. Reach out and touch the Lord as He passes by. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
The Lord. You know, when I got up here tonight, I had no idea what we were going to sing. I didn't have anything picked out, but it's kind of amazing to me when I look back at what we sang, how it all kind of fit together. Praise the Lord. And we have a wonder-working, mighty God.
He can do anything. There's nothing too hard for him. If we would just reach out and touch the Lord, he has good things waiting for us. Praise the Lord. Well, we're going to have Shirley come up here and get started on our Bible study.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I just couldn't help but think as we were singing those songs all about faith and miracles. Oh, I thank God. That's good. You know, we've got to get there. That's the way to think. It really is. And I know Anna just had a little miracle. It just seemed like, you know, she was telling me about her cat had swallowed a tie or something or some tape. And that can be a major problem because, I do know a woman who had a beautiful white Persian cat and it swallowed a ribbon and, oh, wow, it had to have surgery and that wasn't cheap. But God help that cat, that Suki, and she regurgitated that tape that she had swallowed. And I think that's a miracle. I think that's really wonderful. Thank God for that. And you know, I just... It's been a good week. Amen. Praise the Lord. We've got Chris with us here tonight, and she and I had quite a time on Saturday. And I just want to thank God for what he does. You know, listen, Jesus is a miracle worker. And there is nothing too hard for him. And that song is true, if you believe, you shall receive. A lot of times, you know, the faith isn't there. You know, you're just thinking it's for somebody else or for some other time. Or, you know, it couldn't possibly be for you at this moment right now. But we serve a Lord that's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's God and he changes not. And while if we could see him walking the aisle, would we reach out to him? Would we reach out and touch him? If he was walking the aisle, would we do that? But yet he's here. Yet he's here. We can reach our hands out to him. We can believe in faith. We can touch his garment by faith. We can draw nigh to God with a strong heart, knowing that he will draw nigh unto us. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise God. And I'm thankful. Yes, Chris and I went through a lot of scriptures on Saturday, and she was just seeing everything, and it was just exciting to teach her. Yeah. Oh wow, just sat there for a long time going through scripture, and then I asked her about a certain addiction she had, and praise the Lord, we talked about it a bit, and you know, then we prayed, and you know what, she gave it up. She gave it up, and the Lord Jesus delivered her. Amen, amen, amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So, wow, she's not, after those cigarettes anymore. So I thank God. I thank God. I praise the Lord. And praise the Lord. He'll do the same for you if you have such a problem or whatever your need is in particular. We all have needs. But it's time to reach out in faith and touch that hem of his garment to really believe God means what he says. Amen. If we could just but believe it, amen, he will do it. Amen. Praise the Lord. Our God is so good. Mm-hmm. We're going to go to him in prayer right now, and I pray that you would pray with me as we talk to him here tonight. Oh, Heavenly Father, we just thank you for these moments you've given us, Lord. Oh, God, they're pretty golden, Lord. We never know for sure if we'll have another one, Lord. But yet here we are tonight, Lord. We're here. We're gathered together, Lord, in your name, Lord. Oh, God, to think upon you, Lord, to think upon your scripture, Lord, to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Oh God, oh Lord, to have our faith built up, Lord. And oh God, to get to that place, oh Lord, where you can use us, oh Lord, as a broken vessel, Lord, that knows, oh God, her need, his need, oh God of you, the living waters. And God, I just pray, oh Lord, that you be here tonight, Lord, that you touch us. God, that you move in us, Lord. Oh God, that you strengthen us, Lord. Oh God, I pray that you bring down the strongholds. Oh God, everything, oh Lord, that separates people from you, Lord. Any sin in people's life that needs to come out, Lord Jesus. Anything, oh Lord, that's not of faith, Lord Jesus. Oh God, help us, Lord. Help those walls to come down just as Jericho came crushing down at your word, Lord. And God, I pray that you be here, Lord. Oh God, by this strong man, tuck to our hearts, oh God. Oh God, fill our souls, oh Lord, with your spirit, God. Let the Holy Ghost move in this place, Lord God. Though we be few in the number, Lord, you are here in the midst, Lord. And God, I pray that you would talk to us, oh God, that you'd walk these aisles, oh God, that you would see our needs, and oh God, talk to our souls, Lord Jesus. Oh God, let your word be fulfilled, oh Lord, let it be in our hearts, Lord. And God, I just pray, oh Lord, that you'd move, Lord, into every heart, every life, every circumstance, oh Lord. Oh God, keep working, Lord. Keep bringing down the strongholds. Oh God. Oh God, working Chris's granddaughter, Tyler, Lord. I pray, oh God, that you would change her. Oh God, that you'd be glorified, Lord, that you'd move, oh Lord. Oh God, that you'd help her, that you'd help Claudia. Lord, you know all those people, Lord. Talk, God. I pray, oh Lord, that you talk to the children too, Lord. And oh God, oh Lord, there'd be changes in lives, God.
Yes.
Oh God, help Doug who is struggling, Lord. Oh God, bring him out of the depths, Lord. Yes. And God, set him on the rock. Oh God, help him tonight, Lord. Oh God, put faith in our hearts and help us, Lord, as we draw nigh to you. Oh God, minister to us, Lord Jesus. Oh God, give us words, oh God, of faith to hang on to, Lord. Oh God, that we could say to yonder mountain, be thou removed, and it would be cast into the midst of the sea,
yes.
Lord. All the mountains in our lives, all the circumstances, all, everything that binds and tries to break our back. God, we just come against everything, oh Lord. We take authority, oh God, in the name of Jesus, by the power of the blood, Lord, knowing that you're able to help us. Oh God, we can go in and take the country, Lord. We can possess the lands from the Jordan to the sea, Lord. Oh God, we can do it through thy mighty name, God. Give us strength and power here tonight. Oh God, authority in your name, oh Lord, and in your word, by the blood of the Lamb. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord, Jesus. Thank you, God. Oh, praise the Lord. Our God is so good. Our God is good. And you know, besides, he's faithful. If he said something, he means it. Amen. He's faithful. You know, he's not like so many humans that say something 1 minute and then forget it the next. God knows. He knows, and he knows our hearts. And wow, he knows when there's hungering and thirsting after righteousness. He knows when there's a cup to be filled with his power, with his spirit. He knows. He can see it. You know, it comes out of our beings. You know, if we have that desire and that craving for the gift of the Holy Ghost and for God to be operating in our lives, the Lord can tell. Amen. And we need that. We need that. We need that. Amen. We've got to press on. We might not have too many more hours. We might not have too many more days to serve the Lord. So we've got to go to it now. Yeah. We've got to work now while it is yet day. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, Jesus. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Okay, with the Lord's help, we're going to take up in Jeremiah 51. And maybe we'll get through that chapter tonight. It's a long one. We're nearing the end of this book, Jeremiah. We're getting there, little by little. The Lord is helping us. So let's go there. Jeremiah 51. And I guess this chapter really shows how God is restoring, how he is in charge, and how he is revenging his people, Israel and Judah. It really shows it's time for God's vengeance at this point in this chapter. And it's, of course, being taken on Babylon, who, of course, God had allowed the Babylonians, the Chaldeans, to come in and take over Judah. It was God's hand, and it was that moment for that, and it so happened. But had they turned to God? Were the Babylonians turning and serving God? No, they were wicked, wicked people, and they did not fear the Lord. And there came a time when God was going to pour out his wrath upon them. And believe me, it happened. It happened in this 51st chapter tells how God was warning them. That's one thing about God. He does give space to repent. He does allow for that. And here in this 51st chapter, he's been warning. It's a warning. It was actually literally given to the Babylonians. And by the end of the chapter, if we get that far, we'll discover how it came to be. So praise the Lord. Okay, I'm not sure. I think we left out maybe about verse 19 or something last week. But as we began, we're going to be talking about God's vengeance. And I just think it'd be good to keep your finger in that page. But let's go to Romans 12 anyway. Let's go there for a moment here. Romans 12, verse 19. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Praise the Lord. And so here we're clearly told that we don't have to try to avenge ourselves, but rather we need to give it to God, because in due time, God will take care of it. He'll either deal with that person and they'll repent and turn their life over to God. And isn't that beautiful when it happens? God changes their life and all at once it's all different. Or otherwise, there's going to come a day, if it's not on earth, it's going to be at the judgment seat of Christ, where God will show his vengeance. And you know, oh wow, it's going to be a fearful thing to fall into the hands of an angry God. I mean, people have never seen the likes of it by any means. They've not seen anything to compare to God's wrath when it is poured out. And listen, we don't want to meet God that way. We're all going to meet him one way or the other, but we certainly don't want to meet him in his wrath. We want to meet him in peace. Amen. We want to hear him say, well done. That's for sure. Enter into the joys of my Lord. That's for sure. But God is the one that brings about revenge. And he will do it. And in this chapter, it's talking about the Babylonians and the day that he's going to pour out his wrath upon them. On the other hand, we see the goodness of the Lord, and he's also the restorer. And there was something that needed to be restored. Yes, he allowed his own people to be chastised and to be sent away. But it was for their own good. It was for their own hope that they would return to God. And there was a promise with that. There were many promises that the Lord gave. He was going to bring them back. They had 70 years to, you know, and then they were going to come back. God was going to bring them back. And we see in this 51st chapter of Jeremiah, there's going to be that time when they're going to come back. But God is also the restorer. And although he had allowed the devourers to come and take over the land, to destroy Jerusalem, the temple completely, to demolish the walls and the city and the palaces and all the beautiful things that were there, there was going to come a time when he was going to restore. And isn't it beautiful? We all were in the pits of sin at one point. You know, we were without God and without hope in this world. But praise the Lord, the Restorer came back. He came to us, oh, that we might have hope, that we might turn to him, that our lives might be fruitful, and that we could be changed from our sinful, willful way. Our old nature, that old sinful man that we have to put down every day. Oh, God came to us to restore that which the devourer had taken away, that which the enemy took from us, in hopes that we would be defeated and defeated to the point that we would never rise again. But praise the Lord, God has brought us to this place and to this moment so that we can be restored and that we can be filled with the Holy Ghost and have the Lord of hosts deep within our lives, guiding and directing our path. And praise the Lord, Joel, the second chapter, verse 25. Here's one of the promises of God. And I will restore to you the years that the locust hath eaten, the cankerworm, the caterpillar, the palmer worm, my great army which I sent among you. Oh, praise the Lord. The Lord allowed that to happen. But that's how they turned to him. And so many times I see that in people's lives. You know, sometimes it takes a major calamity or some major point of confusion in one's life before they are ready to turn to God. But praise the Lord, I'm thankful for that. I don't mind those phone calls. Say, listen, I might have talked to this person 4 years ago, but, you know, suddenly something happened to their life, and all at once they realize, hey, I need Jesus. Oh, wow, praise the Lord, the door is still open, and there's still time, and we can still come to him. I'm so thankful. Yes, I like that. And the Lord is waiting there, and he has compassion, and praise the Lord, but he's ready to restore that which the locust has eaten. All those years of the locust devoured and took advantage of us and, you know, had his way in our lives. Oh, praise the Lord. The Lord gives it back. Oh, praise the Lord. So the Lord restores the years that the locust had eaten, the cankerworm and the caterpillar and the palmer worm, my great army which I have sent among you. Praise the Lord. I'm so thankful for God and his mercy. Praise the Lord. I'm going to start with verse 17. I know I read it last week, but we'll just start there as a place to start and see how God will lead us here tonight. Here, Jeremiah 51. It says, every man is brutish by his knowledge. Every founder is confounded by the graven image. For his molten image is falsehood, and there is no breath in them. And you know, men sometimes think they're so smart, you know, they just, you know, there's the elitists and, you know, the intellectuals and, you know, those that rule and reign in the universities, and a lot of times they have this attitude, don't they? There's a spirit about them, and you know, a lot of times they just, you know, they got the special insight, but they just got that special insight that nobody else has, you know. But here it says, every man is brutish. In other words, silly, stupid, cruel. You compared to God? Oh my, we know such a tiny little, tiny token of things, you know? I mean, wow, even if we knew where half the things, you know, that were going on, it'd still be, you know, just a little tiny portion. God knows everything. And how could you compare yourself to God anyway? So it says, every man is brutish by his knowledge. Every founder is confounded by the graven image, for his molten image is falsehood, and there is no breath in them. They are vanity, the work of errors. In the time of their visitation, they shall perish. And so it will be, you know, there's going to be a day when only that which is in God is going to stand. You know, it's all going to otherwise disappear and fade and all be destroyed. You know, it's going to amount to nothing. It's all going to be vanity. In other words, futile, in vain, of nothingness. But praise the Lord, there is something that endures. And those are the things that we do for God. Amen. Praise the Lord. And then verse 19 says, the portion of Jacob is not like them, for he is the former of all things, and Israel is the rod of his inheritance. The Lord of hosts is his name. And, you know, God had a special esteem for Israel, of course. He had called them out of Egypt, and they were to be his own peculiar treasure. They were to walk with him and keep his commandments, and he was going to do everything possible to lead them and guide them, to direct them, to supply their needs, and to give them good things. And they weren't to be compared to the heathen. God saw them entirely different. Although he allowed them to be chastised, he was going to bring them back. And he hadn't forsaken them, even though he did for a moment. Yet there was this time, a restoration, when he was going to take vengeance But it was for his people. And so he says here, the portion of Jacob is not like them. He's compared to these others. They're altogether different. He had a love for them. And today, the church is God's people. For in the church of the living God, God has that regard for us too. And you know, he loves his own. You know, he knows how to keep us. And he's for us. If God be for us, who can be against us? And we can stand fast in that liberty which he has made us free in. You know, and we can walk with him and know that he's with us. It's there's none like that. You know, God has that special regard for his people. And it says, for he is the former of all things. It started his with Israel. He had called them out. He called Abraham, who was Abram at that point, and he called him out of Ur of Chaldea and told him to get up and leave his people, and he was going to make a great nation of him. And that's where it began. And it says, Israel is a rod of his inheritance. A rod is a stick that is used for punishment. But again, God does. He does chasten those he loves. That's the way of God. You know, the scripture tells us in Proverbs, he that spareth the rod hateth his son. You know, and that's one way God shows his love. Even though it might be hard for him to look at us struggling at times, yet he knows it's for our own good, that we might grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, that we might get to higher ground with God, and you know that we might live above sin, and maybe, you know, we're just, you know, not hearing him in some way or the other, and you know, he knows that the only way we're ever going to be corrected, and maybe, you know, he does it even when people are in grievous error and not walking with him, but yet, if they're his, he's going to talk to their hearts and pull them out of that miry clay and all that bondage and everything that has held them down. And all at once, he's going to give them ears to hear, eyes to see, a mind to perceive. God can do that. So he says here, Israel is a rod of his inheritance. It says, the Lord of hosts is his name. Oh, praise the Lord, and he is with his people. The Lord of hosts is his name. Verse 20 says, thou art my battle axe and weapons of war. For with thee will I break in pieces the nations, and with thee will I destroy kingdom. Now God was going to use his people as his battle axe because of the fact that they had been destroyed and taken advantage of. Now he was going to use them as his battle axe and weapons of war. And with them he was going to break and destroy the nations and the kingdoms. That was God's response to the heathen's reactions. And that was his regard for his people. It goes on to say in verse 21, and with thee will I break in pieces the horse and his rider. With thee will I break in pieces the chariot and his rider. With thee also will I break in pieces man and woman. With thee will I break in pieces old and young. With thee will I break in pieces the young man and the maid. I will also break in pieces with thee the shepherd and his flock. With thee will I break in pieces the husbandman and his yoke of oxen. With thee will I break in pieces captains and rulers, and I will render unto Babylon and to all the inhabitants of Chaldea all their evil that they have done in Zion, in your sight, saith the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. It wasn't going to be too good for the Chaldeans at that point. It looks like literally everybody was going to be affected by God's judgment, by his revenge. But it was God retaliating. God was bringing back. He was paying back the Chaldeans for what they had done to his people. Verse 25 says, behold, I am against thee, O destroying mountain, saith the Lord, which destroyeth all the earth. And I will stretch out mine hand upon thee and roll down from the rocks, and I will make thee a burnt mountain. Okay, they had been a destroying mountain at one point. And you know the Babylonian kingdom was pretty big. You know this map, if we look at all this area here, let's see, the Babylonian kingdom includes all of this, down into Egypt. It was a huge kingdom here. The Assyrian kingdom had been big too, but the Babylonians, of course, conquered the Assyrians, and it was much greater, all of this area.
way to the yellow. But now God, who had used him as his battle axe at one point or as a destroying mountain, was now going to make them a burning mountain. Everything was going to turn the other way. And they were going to find out what God's wrath is like. And here it says in verse 26, "And they shall not take of thee a stone for a corner, nor a stone for foundations, but thou shalt be desolate forever, saith the Lord." I think we all know that if you're going to build a building, usually there's a cornerstone that, you know, is used to fix the building upon. But here he was going to destroy them, and he was going to leave no cornerstone. It was not going to be found. There, not a stone for foundation. It was going to instead be desolate, taken apart, destroyed, annihilated, all of that. It's going to be gone. He's not going to leave anything to build on, in other words. Then verse 27 says, "Set up a standard in the land. Blow the trumpet among the nations. Prepare the nations against her. Call together her, the kingdom of Ararat, Mini, and Ashkenaz. Appoint a captain against her. Cause the horses to come up as the rough caterpillars." So here, he's calling nations together. And this is going to be a time, and God's doing it now, I think, even. He's calling one world together. He's calling a people together to come against him, but it's all for his will and his pleasure. God knows what he's doing, and he does allow certain things to occur in this world, even though it might look negative at times. Yet God is the one in charge. And here, he was calling the people together to come against Babylon. And here he tells them to set up a standard. A standard is like an ensign, or it's a signal that's on a high pole or something, maybe on a high point, like a mountaintop or something where it could be seen clearly. A hill that's not all covered with trees. A standard that could be seen, and to blow the trumpets so they could all gather together among the nations and prepare the nations against her, it says. Call together against her the kingdom of Ararat, Mini, and Ashkenaz. And Ararat, Mini, and Ashkenaz were in Armenia, which I can maybe point it out, and isn't clearly identified on this map, but if we look at this map down here, and this is the Persian Empire, which is greater certainly than the Assyrian Empire, and certainly greater than the Babylonian Empire. But anyway, this part that sticks out here we have a Black Sea, and here, this part is Turkey, and Armenia is in this area, right around here. I don't know, everybody can see where I'm pointing out here. We have, we have the Mediterranean Sea over here. This is the Caspian Sea here, and this is Black Sea. And Armenia was in this area. And he's among the nations that he's calling out. These three areas here in Armenia are mentioned: Ararat. And Ararat, we've heard of, you know, that's where the ark rested after Noah was done. He was still on Mount Ararat for a while, but that's where the ark came to land. It's also called the Mountain of Ararat. And so that's one of the areas in Armenia that God was calling. And it says Mini, which was also in that same vicinity, and then Ashkenaz was in that area. And those people of Ashkenaz were considered barbarians. In other words, they were not real modern, well, for those times, and just kind of backward as far as the concerns of the other people. That's how they considered them, to be kind of rude and maybe retarded and, you know, backward in their nature and barbarian. But so anyway, God was calling them. He was calling those kingdoms there in that area to come against the Babylonian Empire. And it says, appoint a captain against her. Cause the horses to come up as the rough caterpillars. Now, in this case, the rough caterpillars could be considered locusts. It's possible that that's what the reference here is rough caterpillars comparable to locusts, and if this is the case, locusts, they travel in hordes. They travel in mass. In fact, they can travel in such a huge group that it could block out the sun. You know, they could be the group of them. You know, the locusts all together as they fly through the sky can be between 10 and 12 miles in length and 3 to 4 miles in breadth. And you can imagine, you could see them coming. I would think just black in the sky, so dense that it could hide the sun. And they do a lot of damage. If they land, well, you don't want them to land on your land, you know, because they just eat up everything. They destroy. They take advantage of everything. You know, it just, they were devastating, sometimes referred to as armies of God. God would sometimes use them to punish whoever was disobedient. But here, in this case, God was going to cause the horses to come up as the rough caterpillars. And can you imagine? In other words, there's going to be a lot of horses coming down on Babylon. And interestingly enough, the Medes were known for their horses. So it all comes together here. But it must have been, you know, they must have had thousands of horses. And that's how they were going to come upon Babylon. So here it is, God's calling these nations together. And also verse 28 says, prepare against her the nations with the kings of the Medes, the captains thereof, and all the rulers thereof, and all the land of his dominion. And interesting that the Medes came under the Persians. Cyrus the II had captured them, 550 B.C., Cyrus II took control of the capital of the Medes, and then he conquered that area, which is now called Turkey. And then he went on to move into northwest India. So here is Cyrus II. God was using him. About 540 BC, he was ready to tackle the Babylonians. And then it happened in 539 BC. And the story is told in Daniel, the fifth chapter. We went there a few weeks ago, and perhaps we'll go there a bit tonight. I'm not sure. But anyway, God was going to use them. And particularly, Darius was actually the one in charge that's mentioned anyway in Daniel. But he was under Cyrus. He was under Cyrus. The Medes actually were given dominion over the Babylonian area. And that was, they governed that area as the Persian Empire came into being. So all of this is getting ready to take place. And so verse 28 says, prepare against her the nations with the kings of the Medes, the captains thereof, and all the rulers thereof, and all the land of his dominion. And it tells us in verse 29, and the land shall tremble and sorrow, for every purpose of the Lord shall be performed against Babylon, to make the land of Babylon a desolation without an inhabitant. And wow, what a thing here. It says, for every purpose of the Lord shall be performed against Babylon. Oh, wow. You know, I think we better fear God. I think we better give heed to him. You know, people do not want to understand God, do they? They want to think of him as a teddy bear God. You know, just always smiling, I guess. Always ready to give you a box of candy. But I don't think so. That's not really true at all. But I wouldn't want to fall into his hands when he's angry. Psalm 76, verse 6. At thy rebuke, O God of Jacob, both the chariot and horse are cast into a dead sleep. Verse 7. Thou, even thou, art to be feared. And who may stand in thy sight when once thou art angry? Oh, it's, you know, like I said, people don't realize what God is like. You don't want to see God angry. You want to stand before him in peace. You know, we better make our amends right now. We better get our hearts right with God right now. Because sure enough, oh, of a certainty, we are all going to stand before God and give an account of our life. Of a certainty, we will do that. It says, thou didst cause judgment to be heard from heaven. The earth feared and was still. Oh, wow. It says, when God arose to judgment to save all the meek of the earth, Selah. Oh, wow. He comes there to save the meek of the earth, but also the wicked are going to fall under his heavy judgment. And, oh, I don't want to be in that category. And you want to know the power of God? Look at Psalm 75. Oh, let's just read a little bit here. Look at verse 5. It says, lift not up your horn on high. Speak not with a stiff neck. We better not boast. We better not brag. We better not think it's, you know, we have great character or power or authority of our own self. It says, for promotion cometh neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south. No, it comes from that empty place in the north where God is. That's where it comes from. And verse 7, oh, this has been so true as we have gone through Jeremiah. It says in verse 7, but God is the judge. He putteth down one and setteth up another. And that's what we've seen him do. You know, there was a time when God set up Nebuchadnezzar. The scripture tells us he was going to use Nebuchadnezzar to do what needed to be done for that moment. But now it was time, oh, that Babylon would be put down. And he was going to put them down and set up another. Oh, yes, the Persians were going to come. Cyrus the Great, Cyrus the Second, was going to come onto the scene and take control. Verse 8 says in Psalm 75, for in the hand of the Lord there is a cup. The wine is red, it is full of a mixture, and he poureth out of the same for the dregs thereof. All the wicked of the earth shall wring them out and drink them. Oh, I just want to be left with that sediment on the bottom, the dregs, and all that icky, gooey stuff. Oh, my, it's God's wrath is what it is. Oh, wow, and I don't want that. Oh, my, it says, all the wicked of the earth shall wring them out and drink them. Oh, my, that cup of his wrath. You know, there is that cup of his wrath, and, wow, when it's ready, when it's full to the brim, God is going to pour it out, and in that cup, what I am talking about is judgment, God's judgment. And that's what he's going to be poured out on the ungodly, on those that who have not made reconciliation, who have not met the Lord in peace. Oh, wow. We certainly don't want to be in that category. So verse 29 here in Jeremiah 51, and the land shall tremble in sorrow, for every purpose of the Lord shall be performed against Babylon, to make the land of Babylon a desolation without an inhabitant. He was just going to completely destroy that land. It says in verse 30, the mighty men of Babylon have forborne to fight. They have remained in their holds. Their might hath failed. They became as women. They have burned their dwelling places. Her bars are broken. In other words, they had no more courage. They had no more strength. They weren't getting up to fight. It says they had forborne to fight. In other words, they had ceased to fight. They weren't even trying. And, of course, this is going to catch them, you know, during the night. And they're going to be taken in surprise. But it says they have remained in their holes. They're trying to hide, in other words. And their might hath failed. They became as women. They have burned her dwelling places. Her bars are broken. Everything that protected them is broken. Those bars are broken, and the dwelling places are burned. And so it's horrible. And, you know, if you're trying to escape it all, you're maybe in a cave or some place where you think you might, you know, possibly find shelter for a little while. Of course, that makes me think of the end of the world. Oh, yes, as it speaks of in Revelation, the sixth chapters, when, oh, wow, it talks about the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. All at once it happens. Verse 14 in Revelation 6, and the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together. Can you see this? All at once, the heaven is going to be rolled up together as a scroll. And every mountain and island were moved out of their places. Doesn't seem like there's many hiding places left, does it? Everything is being shaken. God is moving. He is changing things. He is coming in wrath and judgment. And it says in verse 15, and the kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men, the chief captains, the mighty men, and every bondman, every free man, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us, hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. All at once, there it is. And it says, for the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? Oh my, what a question. There they are. They're trying to do something to escape from God's wrath. There's going to be no place to hide. There's not going to be no place of safety at that moment. They are going to call upon the mountains and the rocks to fall on them. Wow, it'd be better to just be covered by them than to face an angry God. Oh, wow, this is a reality, folks. God is coming. He's coming in vengeance. He came the first time to save us from our sins. And what mercy, what grace was shown. Oh, what a wonderful work he did, you know, to save us, to have pity on our pathetic person, you know, in spite of the sin and disgrace and all the dishonorable things we had done. God showing such love and mercy for his people. But this next time, he's coming to judge. He's coming as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You know, they're going to see him and they're going to know him and they're going to fear him. And all at once, they're going to realize, hey, he's angry. Oh, we've got to be in Jesus. Our hope has got to be in Jesus. We've got to be covered by his righteousness. We've got to be clothed in him. Oh my, we've got to have our sins taken care of, or we will not be able to stand in his sight. There is no way. It's going to be an angry God that is coming on the scene. And while in order to find peace, we've got to be right in his sight. Amen, amen, amen. Praise the Lord. So here it is. These Babylonians are afraid. Even the mighty man, the man who typically were out there fighting the battles, oh, they've forborne to fight. Oh, they've remained in their holes. Their might have failed. They became as women. They have burned their dwelling places. Their bars are broken. It says in verse 31, one post shall run to meet another, and one messenger to meet another, to show the king of Babylon that his city is taken at one end. So they're going to go from city to city and destroy those cities. And so you've got one post or one courier or one runner coming to the, you know, meet the king. And, you know, this is my report. They've taken my city. They destroyed it. It's burned with fire. Oh, what are we going to do? And then another post comes, and another, all with the same report. Devastation, destruction, and end. It says in verse 32, and that the passages are stopped, and the reeds they have burned with fire, and the men of war are affrighted. In other words, they're terrified. They're terrified. They don't know what to do. The passages are stopped. The fords where, you know, the shallow places in the water where you could walk across or maybe go across on a horse or ass or something, and, you know, they've stopped them. They've plugged them up so you can't even do that. You can't escape. There's no way of escape. The reeds they have burned with fire, the hollow plants that are growing, the monocots with the hollow stems, the reeds, they're burned with fire. And it says the men of war are affrighted. Oh, they're terrified. They don't know what to do. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, the daughter of Babylon is like a threshing floor. It is time to thresh her. yet a little while, and the time of her harvest shall come. God's pending judgment. Oh my, God's time, and he is going to reap what has been sown. And it's coming for this world too. Oh, as sure as I am standing here tonight, there's going to come that time of God's wrath. He's going to stand. He's going to come. He's going to declare. Revelation 14, verse 14, it says, "And I looked, and behold, a white cloud, and upon the cloud one sat like unto the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle." Oh, here he comes. He's going to reap the earth. The time of his harvest is here. We have another angel in verse 15, came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him that sat on the cloud, "Thrust in thy sickle and reap, for the time is come for thee to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe." And he that sat on the cloud thrust in his sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped. Just like that, the earth is reaped. The book of Joel talks about it too. We could go there too. I was there for that restoration verse, but Joel also talks about the great day of God's wrath. We look at the third chapter, verse 9. It says, "Proclaim ye this among the Gentiles. Prepare war. Wake up the mighty man. Let all the men of war draw near. Let them come up. Beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, I am strong. Assemble yourselves and come, all ye heathen. Gather yourselves together round about. Thither cause thy mighty ones to come down, O Lord. Let the heathen be wakened and come up to the valley of Jehoshaphat. For there will I sit to judge all the heathen round about." There it is, that day of God's judgment. It says in verse 13 here, "Put ye in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Come, get ye down, for the press is full. The fats overflow." See, that cup of his wrath is going to be poured out. "For their wickedness is great." Verse 14, "Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision." Oh, that valley of decision. I have a feeling there's multitudes right now tonight in that valley of decision. It's going to, God's going to see, which way are we going to go? Are we going to go forward? Are we going to be strong? Are we going to be filled with the Holy Ghost? Are we going to walk in his ways? Or are we going to go the other way? Because it says, "For the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision." The day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. It's going to be here one day, folks. It's going to come. We don't know the day or the hour. We don't know the year of his coming. We don't know these details. But we know one thing. We've got to be watching. We've got to be waiting. We've got to have our lamps trimmed and burning. We've got to be right in the sight of God. Oh, that day is coming. We've got to be like those wise virgins. Oh, that were waiting, ready. They had extra oil. So at that hour when the bridegroom called, that they could put that oil in their lamps and be ready. We've got to have oil in our lamps. We've got to be charged with the Holy Ghost and filled. Oh my, we need the Lord like never before. That day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. And then it says in verse 15, "The sun and the moon shall be darkened, and the stars shall withdraw their shining." It's all going to happen. Oh my, as the coming of the Lord draws near. And it says in verse 16, "The Lord also shall roar out of Zion." Here he comes. He's going to roar out of Zion. You're going to hear him. It's going to be with a shout and the voice of the archangel. It's not going to be a silent thing that nobody can hear. No, it's going to be with a roar. He's going to roar out of Zion. He's going to utter his voice from Jerusalem. "And the heavens and the earth shall shake." Praise the Lord. It says here, while all this devastation is happening and the forthcoming judgment of the Lord, it says, But the Lord will be the hope of his people and the strength of the children of Israel. Praise the Lord! Praise the Lord! He's going to be our hope as we wait for him. Oh, the one that we waited for. Here he comes in the midst of all of this. Here he comes as the hope of his people and the strength of the children of Israel. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, will we be glad to see him. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And I would also like to go to Matthew, the 13th chapter. This 13th chapter, of course, has the parables that Jesus told us. And there's some of these definitely pertain to the end of the world. And I just want to read a little bit of this here. If we look at verse 24 here, Matthew 13. It says, "Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which soweth good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath the tares? He said unto them, An enemy hath done this. The servants said unto him, Wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? And listen to this. But he said, Nay, lest while you gather up the tares, you root out also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, Gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. So here we see, we have tares that sprang up among the wheat. And as I understand it, there's different kinds of tares, but one of the most common kinds is the bearded darnel. And this bearded darnel, it's a poisonous grass, but while it's in the blade stage, when it's just coming up out of the earth, it looks exactly like the wheat. So you can't tell the bearded darnel from the good wheat. It looks alike. And here, Jesus is representing the bad seed as, you know, those that aren't following him growing together with the good seed. And sometimes you don't know. There's not always evidence at first. You know, you don't always see and know exactly what's in the heart of an individual. It's really true. But the thing with the tares, too, is as it grows into harvest time, the ears develop, then it's very easy to know which is which. And then it's very obvious and apparent. You know what is a tare and what is good wheat. And so it is at the harvest when the Lord is going to put in that sickle, when he's going to reap the earth. It's going to be very obvious at that moment who are tares and who are the good wheat. And here it says, notice this, first he says to gather the tares. The tares are gathered first and they are to be bound into bundles and they're to be burnt. It says here in verse 30, but gather the wheat into my barn. So here the Lord is instructing how that will be. And he went on to talk about this a little bit more. If we look, oh wow, we could consider all these verses really. But again, let's look at verse 47 here in this same 13th chapter of Matthew. It says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind, which, when it was full, they drew to shore and sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but cast the bad away. So shall it be at the end of the world. The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. See, there it is, the end of the world again. Here he compares it to a net that's cast into the sea. It gathers every kind. The gospel goes out. We're to preach the gospel to every creature. And we don't know what we're going to gather in our nets exactly as we present the gospel. But anyway, there in that net, you know, there was a gathering of good into vessels and also bad. And Jesus said, so shall it be at the end of the world. The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just. So there it is, the division at the very end of time when the Lord sets everything straight. And we are avenged at that moment. But that is the Lord. That is the time that he is going to thresh the earth. In verse 33 there in Jeremiah 51, for thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, the daughter of Babylon is like a threshing floor. It is time to thresh her, yet a little while, and the time of her harvest shall come. It will come and not tarry. Then verse 34 goes on to say, Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, hath devoured me. He hath crushed me. He hath made me an empty vessel. He hath swallowed me up like a dragon. He hath filled his belly with my delicates. He hath cast me out. That was the work of Babylon initially, how Nebuchadnezzar came in and destroyed Jerusalem and Judah and the neighboring lands all around and making them an empty vessel, swallowing them up like it was a sea monster or some kind of great dragon or huge monster of a thing. He hath filled his belly with my delicates. Oh, yes, Nebuchadnezzar came in and took all the pretty things, all the lovely things, all the valuable things, even the things that were in the temple that were precious were all taken. He had done that. And it says, he had cast me out. Oh, there was no room for God. God was cast out, so it seemed. But verse 35 says, the violence done to me and to my flesh be upon Babylon, shall the inhabitant of Zion say, and my blood upon the inhabitants of Chaldea, shall Jerusalem say, all that time when God was avenging himself of the adversary and God's blood upon the inhabitants of Chaldea. Oh, wow, we want his blood to be applied to our life to take away our sins. We don't want that blood to come upon us on wrath. Oh my, to break us to smithereens, to break us and crush us so that we have nothing left. It's either going to be one or the other. We're either going to fall on the rock, or that rock is going to fall on us and crush us to bits. So it is with his blood. It's either applied to our life, or that blood is going to destroy and avenge when it is time for God to pour out of his wrath. And verse 36 says, therefore thus saith the Lord, behold, I will plead thy cause and take vengeance for thee, and I will dry up her sea and make her springs dry. It's going to be a reversal now. God is, you know, his vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. It was that time for God's vengeance. And it says in verse 37, and Babylon shall become heaps, a dwelling place for dragons, and astonishment and hissing without an inhabitant. They shall roar together like lions, and they shall yell as lion whelps, as young cubs, all just yelling, roaring as loud as they can. A terrible, terrible noise. It says in verse 39, in their heat I will make their feasts, and I will make them drunken, that they may rejoice and sleep a perpetual sleep and not wake, saith the Lord. And we know, yeah, Daniel 5, how it happened. There was Belshazzar, and what was he doing? He was having a party. And he had brought in the precious things from the temple, the beautiful golden cups and silverware that had been a part of the tabernacle of God. And they were drinking from them. They were drinking filthy, ungodly wine in those cups. And they thought they were having a good time there, Belshazzar and his wives, his princes, his concubines. Oh my. But God was witness, wasn't he? God saw them. And as they drank wine and praised the gods of gold and of silver and of brass, of iron, of wood and of stone, that same hour something happened. Oh yes. Oh, God was setting forth his judgment upon them. That same hour came forth fingers of a man's hand and wrote over against the candlestick upon the plaster of the wall of the king's palace. And the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. All he could see is the fingers writing on the wall. And all at once, oh, he wasn't so happy anymore. He wasn't having such a good time. It says, then the king's countenance was changed and his thoughts troubled him so that the joints of his loins were loosed. And his knees smote once against another, one against another. All at once he was pretty scared. Oh, so scared that the joints of his knees were loosened. And oh, he was trembling in fear and afraid and not knowing what was going to happen next. And you know, help, what is this? Fingers on the wall, writing. Of course, he called for the astrologers, the soothsayers, and those Chaldeans that had wisdom, so they thought, and you know, he offered them a great prize if they could just read that writing on the wall and give him the interpretation of it. Oh, they were going to be clothed with scarlet and have a chain of gold around their neck, and they would be the third ruler of the kingdom if they could just read that writing and interpret it. Of course, they couldn't. They couldn't. And you know, the queen remembered Daniel. She remembered a man named Daniel who had wisdom that was given by God. And wow, there he was, an old man now, you know, but you know, he still knew his God. God was still using him, and they called him, and there he was. And he was able to tell the interpretation of that dream. He was able to bring it out and tell them. And, you know, he said in verse 22, and thou, his son, O Belshazzar, hast not humbled thine heart, though thou knewest all this, but hast lifted up thyself against the Lord of heaven. They have brought the vessels of his house before thee. Thou and thy lords, thy wives, thy concubines have drunk wine in them. Thou hast praised the gods of silver and gold, of brass, iron, wood, and stone, which see not, nor hear, nor know. And the God in whose hand thy breath is, in whose are all thy ways, hast thou not glorified. Oh, wow, I think we better glorify him now. I think we better praise him now. I think we better worship him now. I think we better give him our hearts now. Oh, for surely every eye's going to see him. And they're all going to acknowledge him. They're all going to bow before him. They're all going to have to acknowledge that he is God. But sadly, it's going to be way too late for most people. If they haven't acknowledged him now while they were yet alive and had breath in them and had opportunity, it's going to be too late. But here it was. It was too late for Belshazzar. He hadn't acknowledged God. He was praising the gods of silver and of gold, of stone, and all of that, and iron, wood, brass, all of that, and not thinking about God, not thinking about him. I mean, how many people do you meet that don't want to think about God? They would just rather not, you know? Why should I go there? Well, I think we better think about him. I think we better, while we have time, while that door of opportunity is still open in our lives, the days of our youth, if possible, to acknowledge God is wise. And of course, there it was, the writing written, many, many tinkle, you farson, and the interpretation, many, God hath numbered thy kingdom and finished it. Tinkle, thou art weighed in the balances and art found wanting. Peris. Thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and Persians. And it, he told us. So they commanded Belshazzar, and they clothed Daniel with scarlet and put a chain of gold around his neck, made a proclamation concerning him that he should be the third ruler in the kingdom. But that night, after this drunken orgy, in that night was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, slain. And Darius the Median took the kingdom, being about 62 years old. Darius was put in charge of the Babylonian part of that empire. But they came in. And it was quite interesting, you know. Here we have this city, this heavily fortified city with a thick walls, 85 feet thick in cases, and all these gates, these heavy thick gates with their fancy ornamentation and expensive material that they were made from, and all their palaces and their temples to Merodach and to Bel and all of that, and all the things they were esteemed for, the hanging gardens and all of that that Babylon was known for. Their streets, their famous streets, and their canals. Oh, wow. But the Persians came with the help of the Medes and, of course, the others that were with them. And what did they do? They got through the walls. You know how? They diverted the Euphrates River. They just blocked it up and so that they could get through the city. And, sneak in, attack them, and they didn't even know that they were out there. There in the night, they came and took over October 13th, 537. There they were, and it was too late. It was too late for Belshazzar to make his amends, to get his heart right. But God had judged them, and they were found weighed in the balances, found wanting. And therefore, that kingdom was divided. It had been given to the Medes and the Persians. That was the end of it. That is how God took charge. That's how he took that authority over them. And they came down. They came down from their drunken stupor. In their heart, I will make their feasts. And I will make their feasts, and I will make them drunken, that they may rejoice and sleep a perpetual sleep and not wake, saith the Lord. Yeah, they died in their sleep that night. Hey, I will bring them down like lambs to the slaughter, like rams of the he-goats. Oh my, yes, the he-goats will often lead the lambs astray, or lead them to the slaughter, literally. Praise the Lord. The Lord Jesus was a lamb, wasn't he, that took our place on the cross. He is so precious, is he, and how precious our salvation. But here it was in verse 41. How is Shishak taken? That's another word for Babylon or Babylon. How is the praise of the whole earth surprised? How is Babylon become an astonishment among the nations? There they were. They were taken over. October 13, 539. They were destroyed. It says, the sea is come upon Babylon. She is covered with a multitude of the waves thereof. Her cities are a desolation, a dry land, and a wilderness, a land wherein no man dwelleth, neither doth any son of man pass thereby. So God was bringing forth his word as it had been declared. And I suppose it says the sea has come upon Babylon. I suppose those diverted waters had to flow somewhere and swallowed up, parts of Babylon, covered with the waves thereof. And wow, her cities are a desolation. They went through Babylon and destroyed it. A dry land, a wilderness, a land wherein no man dwelleth, neither doth any son of man pass thereby. And it says, I will punish Bel in Babylon, and I will bring forth out of his mouth that which he had swallowed up. The nations shall not flow together any more unto him. Yea, the wall of Babylon shall fall. Oh, yes. Oh, wow, it did happen, that great thick wall. And they had heavy walls on the outside and in the inside, too. It was a well-fortified city. But you know what? No competition for God. No competition for the Almighty One who sits in the heavens. That day is coming when he is going to laugh. When he is going to mock, when their fear cometh, when it's going to be too late for those that have denied him and opposed him to make their amends. Oh, yes. It tells us that in the second chapter of Psalms. Oh, yes. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? They're scheming now. They've got all kinds of vain thoughts and ideas. It says the kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. Huh, no connection to God. Let's do our own thing, you know. We sure don't want to fear God, do we? And wow, we see that in the land that we live in. This very day, we see very total regard in many respects for the living God. Oh my, you just, all the things that are coming upon the land. I just was at the office for a very few minutes today, but somebody had sent me, an email, and it was just a picture of a man holding a very large sign, and the sign says, "No mother should have to live in fear of her son's life every time he robs a store." And I'm thinking, what kind of perverted thinking is this? No, no mother should have to fear for her son's life, every time her son robs a store. And I'm thinking, now listen, there's something wrong here, and this man was just as serious as he could be, a big, tall, black man just holding this sign, with a very serious face. And, I tell you, this has happened, and people no longer know what's right and what's wrong, They call evil good and good evil, Darkness for light and light for darkness, bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. It's no longer known, They're allowing the illegals to come over the border and giving them amnesty, and benefits, and, treating them in such a way while ordinary citizens don't have much of a chance, and abortion flourishes, sadly to say. Same-sex marriage is becoming popular, and the sodomites have risen up and showing their fists and their thunder. Oh my, all of that. And yet, you can get in trouble for spanking your child. Everything is turned around backwards. And I'll tell you what, I'm sure the Lord is not pleased. Because, it always has grieved God when judgment is turned away backwards. And so it is. But that time of God's revenge will come upon this world. There will be a time when God will say, it is enough. I have had it. That cup of my wrath is to the full, and I will pour it out. Oh, praise the Lord. Just as it fell, just as Babylon fell, so shall this world fall. I praise the Lord will be the hope of his people and the strength of the children of Israel. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. What a privilege to be in the hands of the Lord and to be his child. Amen. Thank the Lord, praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank the Lord, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Samuel will come. Amen. Let's give our hearts to the Lord. Let's be serious with God while we yet have time. Amen. Praise the Lord, Jesus. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord. We love you, Jesus.
Oh, praise the Lord. We closed out the song service last week with the same song. I think we should sing it again, number 25, Let Go and Let God Have His Way.
Let go and let God have His wonderful way. Let go and let God Your sorrows will vanish, your night turn to day. Let go and let God have His way. Let go and let God have His wonderful way. Let go and let God have His way. Your sorrows will vanish, your night turn to day. Let go and let God have His way.
Praise the Lord, and you are dismissed unto prayer.
Thank you.